And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 167. And today's episode is a Black and a Half reviews edition. One of those episodes where I'm just focused on talking about movies or TV shows that are currently out. And today I'm going to be talking about two movies, when we talk about Black Widow and starring, of course, Scarlett Johansson. And then we talk about Cosmic Sin starring Bruce Willis. But joining me today, a very special guest for the first time ever on this program. My daughter, Sierra Lindenstein, is joining me to talk about Black Widow. We saw it together and she's here. And yeah, so it's going to be a fun episode. Again, big shout out and thank you to our listeners, our Patreon supporters. You too, for as little as a dollar a month, could become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners, where you can upgrade a little bit and become one of the Inner Circle members, like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. You can become one of them. Go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And of course, otherwise, you know, please go to iTunes and give us a Apple Podcast, they call it now. Go there. Give us a 5-star rating. I'd appreciate that. Samantha'd appreciate that. And all my children would appreciate that. So go ahead and do that. So yeah, this will be a fun episode coming up here right after this.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sierra's here. Say hi.
Hello.
Like you mean it.
Hi.
Good job. Good job, Sierra.
Thank you.
Lindenstein.
Yes.
Sierra, we've seen most Marvel movies together. Right? Not all of them. At first, because you had to, they were, before you were into action films, they were coming out.
Yeah.
And I was seeing them by myself.
Yeah.
Or with other people. What was your first, do you remember the first Marvel movie you saw in the theater?
In theater?
Yeah.
It was probably in phase 2, maybe phase 3.
Did you see Avengers 2?
No, I think it might have been. Maybe it was Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier was phase 2.
Yeah.
So that would have led up to Avengers 2.
Yeah, but I feel like I might have been too scared to see it in theater at that age.
Okay.
I know I saw Captain America Civil War.
In theaters.
Yes.
That might have been your first one then.
In theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Natasha. So we saw Black Widow. Black Widow. Okay. Get my sheet out here. PG-13 action adventure. 2 hours and 14 minutes. I did not feel like it was that long.
No. It went by real fast.
Real fast. It's written by Eric Pearson, directed by Kate Shortland. I kind of like that they didn't make a big deal about it being directed by a woman. Like, I never heard any mention of it until I looked it up and saw that it was directed by a woman. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
First female action Marvel movie. Female-led, female-centered, I mean, it's pretty much about mostly about the women.
Yeah.
In it. I like that. It stars Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, O.T. Fegbeln, Olga. Oh my gosh, I don't know that name. William Hurt, Ray Winstone, and Rachel Weisz. Florence Pugh was the sister.
Yeah.
Sister in quotes. David Harbour from Stranger Things. Right?
Yeah.
He was, I actually thought he was going to have a bigger role in this. From the trailers, didn't you think he was going to be all over it?
I felt like he was going to be a main character, or at least like kind of a side character to Natasha, but I'm surprised he didn't have more screen time in some of it.
He was funny.
Yeah.
He was like the comic relief of the, which is funny because he's definitely not the comic relief in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
At all.
Like a 180.
Yeah. Okay. So the story, in their own words, it's a film about Natasha Romanoff in her quest between the film Civil War and Infinity Wars. Infinity War. So for those of you following it, it was hinted at that it was going to be a prequel for Black. It was going to be a prequel of her. So that we were going to learn how she got there. But it turned out it actually, while we do learn stuff, it takes place from, so Civil War ends phase, no. Is it in phase three? No.
It's in phase three.
It's in phase three. Yeah, yeah, okay. It's in the middle of phase three. So it takes place after Civil War, and they go and lock up a few of the heroes, Captain America's friends. He ditches them. So they arrest Falcon and Ant-Man and such. And she's on the run. And I kind of forgot what side she was on. Because she was actually on Iron Man's side.
She was on Team Iron Man, but she never signed the Sokovian Accords.
She didn't?
No. So she was kind of her own team in a way. But she did fight with Team Iron Man.
But the way she was acting felt like she was like Captain America.
Yeah. She was kind of in the middle. She was like Green Party.
But she definitely but she definitely fought Cap.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye, because she had to fight Hawkeye.
Yeah.
That was part. You finally, in this film, you get to find out about, they always allude to in the different movies, Hungary or Budapest. What happened in Budapest?
Budapest.
And they finally reveal it in this film. I'm going to just go on my three favorite things about the film. Number one, not having a romantic relationship as part of the action was very nice, as it gave way to learn more about the characters. I like that. Number two, I thought it was a fantastic blend between origin story and continuing what's happening with Black Widow. So I don't I'm tired of, I don't want to see Uncle Ben die again. I don't want to see, I care less about Batman's parents. Like, Bruce Wayne's parents could die 1,000 times. I would not care. I'm so tired of that origin story. I want the superhero stories. Just go into the story. I don't need a day in the life of these action heroes, right? I don't need to see the origin story all the time. And so I like that this was just like, oh, here's this Black Widow doing Black Widow stuff. Now her past comes to haunt her, in a sense. So we do sort of find out a whole lot about her past, but it didn't feel like an origin story. It felt like a confronting her past story in her current situation. I don't know. How'd you feel? Did it feel like an origin story to you?
I think parts of it really like contributed to her origin story, but it wasn't mainly about how she came to be. Like you said, it moves the story along, but it's still, yeah, I would say that because of her current situation, they explain things more or go in depth of things, but it wasn't a full-on origin story.
Okay, and then number three, I put proof that a female-centric action film absolutely can work. We've had a couple that have not been big hits, female-centered action movies. A lot of times they're rated R, too, so that doesn't help build them, right? But this is a nice PG-13, because it was not just Natasha's film. It was her sister...
Yelena
story, you know? Yeah. And even to a degree, the mom. I felt like it was very much their story and about women being affected by men. Without any romance having to be in there, you know, like they were from a female centric point of view, able to carry, in my opinion, one of the best standalone Marvel films. There's an argument on whether like every origin story is a standalone one because you don't need the ones before, right? So there is part of me that's like, well, Guardians of the Galaxy was a really good standalone film. But I think it was, I thought it had incredible action. I thought, you know, the special effects were there. I jumped a couple times, as you noted later. I mean, what did you overall think about the film?
I thought it was very, action packed. I liked it a lot. I think it had a good balance between, action, but also moving the story along. It wasn't just a bunch of fire the entire time. So it had good balance between the relationships between the people that aren't necessarily romantic, but the relationships between their family or their so-called family that they got to explore, as well as moving along.
So what were your favorite things about it? Were there favorite moments without spoiling?
I liked a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of women empowerment in it, so it wasn't all about a man. Mm-hmm. And I liked that it didn't center, because it's one of the only female films for Marvel. So I'm glad it didn't.
Or the only, right?
Well, Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I liked that it didn't center around a man, and they made it more about her and her story with her family more than a, like.
Did that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you? Like, does it mean something to you because I tell you that it's the first, or do you notice that as a young lady?
I do notice that. I notice. I mean, in some of the other films, she's been. I feel like in this film, she's less sexualized, as well, and I like that it's more about her as a character than her as her. I guess it's more about her being a strong superhero than it is about her being a woman.
Yeah, I don't even know that they didn't really touch much on, because you're a woman.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Black Widow program of sorts that's been alluded to. So, okay, so number one, empowerment part of it. Number two, what was the second thing that you loved about it?
I liked the comedy in it. I like how they incorporated some of the funny moments with serious moments. And I think they had a good balance of that, and they knew the right times to use it. I thought that was really cool.
I like some of the comedy was self-aware about what they do. Like the, there's a joke about them posing. How she's a poser. Because Natasha's always posing when she fights.
Why do you think everyone's watching you?
It was pretty, it was nice for them just to comment on what they do in films all the time.
Yeah.
And but not, but without it, it didn't really break the fourth wall. It was just like, why are you doing that? How does that help you fight?
That does nothing for you.
I like how they talked about her being famous. Like that Natasha's famous. And then I was kind of like, why are you having this fight in public? Everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Natasha Romanoff is fighting with some blonde lady right here. Should we TikTok this? Okay, third. Do you have a third?
I don't know if I have a third. I think you covered most of them.
I do. I do a great job of covering everything about the film. Excellent reviewer.
Do great.
Okay, the worst. It's hard. Okay, this is really hard. Not spoiling. So this is going to be so vague. Like, you hopefully get it. And anyone who's watched it gets what I don't like. I felt like the ending, I felt like they didn't know how to get out of it. And they just ended it. Because there almost seemed like two endings.
Yeah.
Like, first they kind of wrapped up, like, kind of the story. And they're like, meh, you guys go. I'm going to hang out here. I'll fix this. And then they, like, break away and have, what, like, what, 6 weeks later. And then have another short thing. And then it's over. Then it's over. I'm like, why? You didn't need that 2 minute scene. I don't know. I felt like they just ended it.
I feel like they kind of had a plot hole in there as well towards the ending.
Might have. Yeah. I did. Okay. Most of the action hero action sequences were fine. But I will say there's an action sequence near the end where this thing is just exploding everywhere and they're flying through this stuff and nobody gets hurt, right? Like, and I know it's an action movie and I'm suspending belief, but nobody in this is really like, well, most of the people in here are not like super, they don't have gamma radiation or special shields to protect them, right? And they just were so unscathed. Like, I was like, I needed someone to break their arm, or
it wasn't realistic enough.
Yeah, and I know it's silly to say that in these, but I feel like Marvel does a good job of like, okay, they got to let Hawkeye and Natasha often will get hurt a little bit or damaged because, like, yeah, well, you can't live through everything unless someone comes and blocks. They got to block stuff. Nobody was blocking for them, but there was way too much, like, debris going out. I was like, someone's got to get hit with shrapnel here.
Yeah.
Just, or something. That was just a little like.
It was a little.
Usually if it's quick, but I was like, this is a long time. You've been on a long time now. And we've been having stuff blowing up around you for like the last 30 minutes.
And you're still going.
Everything. Nothing's broke. Nothing cut. Don't even have a scratch yet.
Maybe a little dirt on the face. That's it.
I said, well, to a degree, I had some dissatisfaction on how it played out at the end. Like, I felt like it was a big setup for another franchise. Like, that they made it all convenient. There's a lot of convenience of, like, is it clear if people are dead at the end of this? Who's supposed to be dead?
Are you talking about post-credit scenes?
No.
No.
No, I just felt like, so Natasha's goal, what she does, who she frees at the end, and they all go off, these people go off. And then even our villain-ish of it, I didn't get a satisfying ending of the villain.
No, yeah, I feel like they could make another movie.
Yeah. No, and I felt like, oh, they're going to continue this franchise just without Natasha.
They could be part of the new, like, phase 4.
Yeah, or five. Maybe five. Yeah. New but, like, so Avengers. I was like, you just set it up for another movie, this franchise, a Black Widow franchise of sorts, but without Natasha.
Yeah.
And so it just felt convenient. Okay, and then I like to always talk about a lesson learned from a film. And so I don't know if any lessons popped out to you during it. Because I like to teach you, as my daughter, that all movies have lessons to teach you. The lesson that I took from this was real family is chosen. What?
So cheesy.
Cheesy? It's true, though. They hit on it a bunch, I think. But, I mean, your real family can be your actual family.
Yeah.
Too, but also just that you choose your family.
Blood doesn't mean family.
Right. Yeah. And people can be part of your family that are not blood. Then my final word on this is Black Widow is one of, if not the best standalone films from the MCU. A great balance between answering the questions of Natasha Romanoff's origin story and current adventures unrelated to the greater Marvel quests. I mean, I don't mean greater, like they're better, but of quests that are going on. And then I have, on this show, Sierra, we have a 3L system. Okay?
Okay.
You get 3 choices to give a film. You can love it, you can like it, or you can lose it. So love it is the kind of film that as soon as it's done, you text, you call, someone's like, you got to go see this film. Or you go do a podcast about it right away. Or, in this case, 2 weeks later, right? Like it is film, like a lot of films you can like. Oh, I liked it. You know, I'd watch it if I'm watching it. And then lose it. I wasted my money to see it so that you don't have to, right? Don't ever watch this film. Have to. And so I gave Black Widow a strong like it. A borderline. I almost loved it.
Yeah.
What about you? Where would you give it?
I would agree with that. I would say.
Do you give it a like it?
Yeah, a very high like it.
Okay. Good. So that's Black Widow, folks. Hold on. Let me. Okay, the next film I'm going to talk about. I want Sierra here so I can rant about it, but not like she didn't watch it with me. But it's Cosmic Sin. Starring Bruce Willis and a bunch of other people that I don't know or haven't heard of. And I was starting to write them down, but then I was like, you know what? I don't even care. I don't even care who they are or what they've done. Cosmic Sin, rated R. It's drama, 1 hour and 28 minutes. It's airing on Netflix. It's not a Netflix original. I don't think they wanted that in their list. Written by Edward Drake and Corey Large, directed by Edward Drake. The story. 7 rogue soldiers launch a preemptive strike against a newly discovered alien civilization in hopes of an ending in interstellar war before it starts. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Yeah.
Sounds like, oh, it's Bruce Willis? Oh my gosh, let's go. Like, watch this. It's like Armageddon, but... And Fifth Element combined, we're going to, oh my gosh, like, how did I not hear about this film? How did I not hear this was being made? This is such an interesting sounding film. Well, maybe it's the pandemic. Was it the pandemic that got, because the new release, it says 2021. I think I haven't heard of it because it's one of those films that I think I'm now convinced that Bruce Willis owes a lot of money to people or to the IRS or something. And he has to do a bunch of movies because he's done. He has a lot of movies now that I haven't heard of that all so low rated because they're just awful. Like, I'm like, why are you doing so many movies? Demi's got, you can't be paying Demi forever from The Divorce, right? Like the, Like, come on, she does her own stuff. You don't have to be. This is such a bad movie. Like I was trying to, like, the three best things about the film. I said, well, nice idea for world building. Idea. It was a good idea. I was like, oh, there's some potential here. If somebody good handled it or wrote it, if they made it into a series.
Be cool if it were just better.
Yeah, well, better. And which is not hard. Like, it wouldn't be hard to make this better.
Yeah.
Almost anybody could make it better than it was. I like that it knew where it wanted to go. They hit these plot points throughout the film. Hey, here's a plot point. And this is what I want to happen here. And sometimes they would say that out loud. They'd almost go, this is what should happen here. I guess we should wonder if, we should have a philosophical discussion about whether preemptive war is right or not. The worst things, I only say that I can write. I didn't even do a three best because I couldn't come up with a third one. The three worst, but horrible execution. I put the writing and then I stopped because I was like, I could list everything about this. The editing, like the story, this was such an exciting plot and the story was so boring. It was so immensely boring and kind of predictable. Predictable once you realize what the next plot point is and you're like, okay, they're going to, but there's no like originality to it. It made no sense. They had this bomb called the Q bomb, which was like, it looked like a, do you know those minute, like timers with like sand?
Yeah.
It was like one of those, like, but lit up in the middle. And this is the bomb. And they were going to, like, there's no device on it or anything. Like, there wasn't buttons to put. But they kept saying, this is our bomb. And you got to carry it and keep it stable. Because it could just blow. Like, it actually like, creates a black hole where it is and sucks everything inside. It's like this almost doomsday level device. It was so stupid. There was no consistency about how it was carried around. Or I had no idea how do they use it? Because it sounded like it just become unstable and just suddenly go off. And then I'm like, if it's that unstable, how are you going to launch it at anybody? It doesn't make any. It was so like, I was angry watching this film because it was so bad. And I was honestly like, if I didn't need to review it, I would have stopped like probably 10, 15 minutes into it. But there's the lesson. There's actually two lessons here. Number one, for Bruce Willis, make sure someone does your taxes or you'll end up doing movies like this. Okay. That's the first lesson learned. Then I thought, okay, well, I should do a lesson from the movies. Humanity is barbarian by nature. There's this kind of a message that like, this whole preemptive, like, if we meet aliens, what are we going to do? Well, we're probably going to try to kill them. That's what we're going to do. Just no. Should we try to communicate? No, let's assume they're hostile. They're probably hostile. They seemed a little hostile when we met them, and they probably are. So let's just kill them.
It's just murder everything.
Should we? Maybe we should talk about, maybe that was a misunderstanding. No, I think we should just try to kill them. That's probably the best route. Just murder them. Final word is the biggest sin about this movie is that you sat through and watched it. Okay. Cosmic Sin's the name of it. So that's a nice pun. So the verdict, if you couldn't guess, is a lose it. Oh my gosh. don't watch this. Don't try to watch it. It's the worst. It is the worst Bruce Willis film ever seen. There's another one sitting in my queue to watch, and now I'm a little more afraid to watch it because I'm like, is this the level? Because it's another space alien kind of movie, and so I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, folks, that's it. Those are the two films for reviewing today. We did Black Widow and Cosmic Sin. Remember, Black Widow got a very strong like it. Bruce Willis's Cosmic Sin gets a very strong lose it. And that's it. Sierra, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have you again in the future for other Marvel films we see or whatever art film you want to watch.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for your insight late at night. Again, my name is Saz Lindenstein. This is Sierra Lindenstein. I'll be back next week with hopefully with Samantha Rund for another interview. Until then, black and out.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.